Hear me okay? Okay, good. Yeah, because it took forever for the mic to go on, so I don't know what was going on there. Courtney, did Eric get in? There he is. Okay, good. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I didn't know that. I guess I do have the usernames and the passwords can't use spaces, and I guess I also have it to where you can't use ANSI characters either. So, yeah, no periods, commas, semicolons, and stuff like that. So I'm glad to see he's in there. Hey there, Eric. All right, if you get all kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your presence on this Sabbath day and the changing of the showbread as you promise each week. Thank you for blessing us with eyes that hear and focus, as well as wisdom and discernment and good memory, so that not only does it help us grow closer to you and have stronger faith and courage and wisdom and discernment and everything that we're going to need for the coming days, it also blesses us with the memory we need that your Son promised us in John 14:26, that all things will come to our remembrance whatsoever you have said unto us. And so thank you for blessing us. And Father, we pray fervently daily that you let the latter rain fall upon us. And thank you for the way you're changing us so that we can be ready for that. And thank you for all the answered prayers, all the prayers that we have on the prayer list, all the people, all the family members, loved ones, even some enemies that have come against us. We still love them because we know we're not fighting against flesh and blood. And thank you for blessing this gathering with your presence on this Sabbath day. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Hopefully, keep this in your prayers. Hopefully next week we can do a live stream on YouTube. I'm probably not going to be making videos for a while. I don't know. I'm still contemplating that. Because the blog is doing so good. And so I, you know, they're supposedly going to lift or expire one of the community strikes against me on the 24th of next week, which is Friday. The 2 week ban ends on the 24th. The other strike ends on the 28th, I think. The first strike ends on the 28th. The second one ends on July 15th. So anytime between now and next Friday, or better yet, now and next Tuesday, the second Tuesday, you know, the 28th or July 15th, they could throw another strike. But they throw another strike on us before the 28th, then all 565, because they deleted that one video. Actually, they deleted about 15 videos, and so all the videos are going to be gone. The account will be closed. And then if I go on YouTube, I won't be putting videos up. I'll just be doing streams. But it'll be slow going at first because, you know, if I'm starting up a new account on YouTube, I can't really tell people about it. But if I have an opportunity to get back on YouTube, I may put out a community alert letting them know I'm going to have a second YouTube account. Please subscribe now, kind of a thing, you know. And so if they ban this one, we'll just get the other one going. And so anyway, as we step into these final days, we're seeing a lot of crazy stuff. And so we have to study the Word so as to know where the signs are. And by the way, I believe the reasons that they shut us down for the live stream for 2 weeks this time. First time it was only for 1 week because they, you know, they act like we're all children, I guess. Like I'm grounded for 2 weeks is because we started. All the videos are still safe on John1429.org. Yes, definitely. They're all on there, including the ones they banned. And if you go to my banned page on Remnant of God, I have, I think, 6 or 7 of them that were popular that were banned. I have a bunch of others that were banned in certain countries, but I haven't made the list, and so I don't know. Because that banned page on YouTube or on my website would probably triple in size because of all the, you know, like where I show the one where the Nazis were making a salute to the Vatican and using the three-finger salute, YouTube contacted me and said that that video will not be seen in Israel or Germany. And then months later, somebody contacted me from Copenhagen or something, I don't know, some other country, and says, we can't see it here either. And so we found out later that they banned it in like 30 or 40 countries. And so, because they're worried about political unrest, you know, it's, in other words, free speech. They're just, the Vatican doesn't like their dirty laundry out there, and so they're doing everything they can to clean it up. Hence the reason the Pope dropped the title Vicar of Christ, so that all the Muslims and the Hindus and the Jews will say, okay, you know, he doesn't claim Christ as Lord anymore, so let's all just do our, you know, group hug and sing Kumbaya. But anyway, I have no doubt that they removed our stream because of, we started doing Mondays and Wednesday night streams of all the articles that I'm finding out proving this COVID-19 thing is, it's our 66 AD. And if you want to discuss that later, I'll do that later, but not right now. But it is definitely our version of the 66 AD. No YouTube can't make it as a stream channel. Yeah, that's what I plan on doing, Eli. They're banning my main channel on YouTube. They're saying it's because of videos, and they're picking videos from the past. It's a strong possibility they're doing it because of the stream that we're doing, and because I was exposing a lot of stuff. But those videos stayed up. The ones about what we were talking about in the stream, they all stayed up. And so I'm confused as to what they're doing. I know there's a troll involved too. You know, Seventh Day Adventist that's going around, you know, complaining about us. So, but that's okay. You know, the Lord will bless him if he repents. So again, as we step into the final days, we, brothers and sisters, seriously, we have to study the Word so as to know where the signs are. For example, not many people know what the sign of allegiance is to Rome. Worse yet, most don't even know what the sign of allegiance to the Lord is either. And so Rome, under Satan's guidance, of course, can and will rely on the people's lack of understanding. And this is why you see all the dumbing down that's been going on since the 70s. I remember when I went into high school the very first year. The second year. Because when I went to the first high school, it was a different high school. We moved. I didn't really notice much because I was still very naive. I was still naive when I was a sophomore. But I caught a lot of things quicker, it seemed. Because I remember when I was a child, my parents gave me a whole book of Encyclopedia Britannica. Because, you know, we didn't have video games, and the TV had like three channels, and it was off at 10 p.m. And, you know, and so there weren't a lot of, you know, I mean, I loved my bike. I don't care how cold it was. I was out there on the bike all the time. And it's not easy to ride a bike on ice, I'll tell you. So, but I read those encyclopedias, especially when it came to meteorology. I had a thing about that, and it worked out good for us because when I was 12, when that tornado came, I knew a lot of stuff that was going to happen before it happened because of what the encyclopedias taught me. And so when I got to high school in history class, they were saying that the United States of America was formed because of the taxation issues in Britain. And I said, no, that's not what the encyclopedia said. And I started realizing they were changing history books. Because I knew this nation was founded because of religious persecution. And then the Tea Party proved, the Boston Tea Party proved it wasn't about what they were saying about, because that came later with the taxation without representation thing. So anyway, going on, they count on our lack of understanding, and that's why they dumbed down the kids and stuff. Like when we were in grade school, you couldn't graduate unless you took the Constitution test of the federal government. Now, yeah, the kids don't even know what it is. And so when the kids come out of high school now, they're pro-socialism, and they're pro-homosexual, they're all pro-everything. But we, as a people of God, it is expected of us to know who our enemies are when it comes to the spiritual aspect of life, because the word is clear in 1 Peter 5:8, which says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So you're not fighting against people. Although they think you are, because they're getting all up in your face, but they don't realize that the demons in or on them are moving them to hate you as a Christian. So they aren't your enemy. The demon in or on them is. We're fighting against principalities and powers of the air. And so, if you don't know how Satan works, then he can easily kill you spiritually, and even physically for that matter, if he needs to. And so we must do as suggested in Psalm 74, verse 4. It says, "Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs." And see, this is one of the blessings of the home church in the last days, like the home churches in the book of Acts. The Christian church did not start in big old brick and mortar church buildings and really didn't start in any cathedrals. That's paganism. Those pagan cathedrals with the spires and the phallic symbols in the windows and on the roof and all that, it's all just vulgar paganism. That's not Christianity. Christianity started in the homes. And that's how it is going to end, too, because of persecution. I mean, look what's going on in China. If you meet in a building and don't have state religion, you know, the approved state religion, well, then they'll kill you. So people are meeting in caves and hovels and in forests and stuff like that. And every now and then they get caught and they get killed. And they're the ones, you know, they harvest their organs without using anesthesia and stuff like that. It's disgusting what they're doing to the Christians in China. And it's kind of like the same thing here in America when it comes to the 501c3. Pretty soon, it is law now that they can literally speak religious things from the pulpit, but soon it's going to be you cannot gather. Like in many nations, you cannot gather unless you have like a 501c3 similar to what we call 501c3. And so, but as we know, I mean, we're not going to bow to that, obviously. We'll meet in the caves and in the, you know, forests or whatever, or just meet in our own homes and have worship on Sabbath alone. That's fine, too. The Lord does not have a problem with that. Our God does not, you know, that doesn't bother him at all. And so, as we know, Satan would like to destroy God's seal. You know, the end signs that's being talked about here in Psalm 74, you know, the signs. So Satan wants to destroy God's seal so as to make his law of none effect all over the world. He knows that that law represents a creator God just by looking at commandment number 4, wherein we learned earlier is where the seal of God resides. I mean, to destroy God's law is to destroy his kingdom. That's the way it's always been, even in the wars of mankind. It's, you know, what I mean is, you know, besides the fact that destroying the law would mean to get the Lord off his throne, for the only way to get to his law is to open the Ark of the Covenant, wherein his mercy seat is actually the lid. And he's not moving off that throne no matter what. But most need to think in the way residents of heaven think to get this, of which all angels are. Fallen or not, Satan knows how the kingdom of God runs. He was the most powerful angel. He's fallen now, yeah, but he wasn't then. So he knows about the Ark of the Covenant. He knows about the mercy seat. And he knows when the lid, like if the Lord ever got off the seat, he knows what's under there. It's the Ten Commandments. And so as students of prophecy, we know the law of God is also depicted as a wall in prophecy. Remember when Paul was struck in the face in Acts 23? As a matter of fact, I just read that this morning. He said this to the high priest that commanded he be struck. It's in Acts 23:3. And thanks again, Brother Shawn and Dwayne and Warren and Joe and everybody that's helping out within, you know, in the room here. But it's Acts 23:3. It says, then this is right after he got smacked upside the head, you know, because he said something to the high priest that he didn't even know was a high priest. And the high priest was illegal to begin with because he, you know. Well, I don't know at this time. I knew during the time Christ was on the earth, there were two high priests because of the political aspects of it, which means they were both illegal. But it says this, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? I mean, he knows what it means to hit somebody you're not supposed to do. I mean, look what John the Baptist says, do violence to no man. You know, and they knew he was a prophet. And so as the wall is a symbol of both protection and God's law, a whited wall has the appearance of saying, but is obviously a fake. as were the leaders in the church 2,000 years ago. That's why Jesus said what he said in Matthew 23:27. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres." He went even further with it. "Which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." And that's why he used the term sepulchre, because that means grave. Just but rotted corpse on the inside. It's all you're finding. So to be whited, as both Paul and Jesus intimate here, is to claim to be of the light of truth, but in reality the exact opposite. You know, this is why it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And that's why when these people have these life after death experiences, they all say, "Oh, I saw an angel of light," because they don't read their Bibles. They're literally saying, "Oh, I saw Satan," but they think it's an angel. So, and then we see in Isaiah 30:13, and then I'm going to jump over to Isaiah 58:12-13. But Isaiah 30:13 says, "Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant." And they're all going to know that when that eastern sky splits. And then, of course, the verse we all know and embrace is our calling in these last days. This verse puts it plainly. It's found in Isaiah 58:12-13. "And they that shall be of thee," that's us, "shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations," because they all kept the Sabbath before us. So we're, you know, I mean, I even have a page on the website, so it shows all the Sabbath keepers from the first century as Christians. I didn't have to bring up the stuff before them because they all think it's a Jewish Sabbath, even though it's not a Jewish Sabbath. Angels kept the Sabbath before Jews were even born. And so, anyway, going on, it says, "Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." And then he explains how you can be that repairer of the breach. Well, then he finishes by saying, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words." And this is why, like you saw in Granada, they're saying you cannot go shopping for food only on you can only go shopping for food on Saturdays, and it doesn't go against any religion, because they know what they're doing. They're testing the Sabbath keepers to see if they're going to cave already before the mark is enforced, because that's all this stuff you're seeing is. That's why I said this is our 66 AD, because there's also going to be a 70 AD when Titus killed all those people. 66, Cestius backed off. So again, we'll go into that later if you want. But sin is the transgression of the law, according to 1 John 3:4. And Isaiah declares sin to be a breach in the wall. In Isaiah 58:12-13, likens the breach in the wall to breaking of commandment 7, you know, number 4. That's why I also did that video about the woman that found the fourth coin. And a lot of people don't realize, what do you mean fourth coin? The Bible just says that she had 10 coins and she misplaced one. How do you know it's the fourth one? It's because the woman is the church. And all the churches, the last 2,000, well, not 2,000 years, ever since 321 AD when Constantine put out the first Sunday law on March 7th, they've all been keeping Sunday holy. And so that was the coin she misplaced. The church misplaced coin number 4, which is the fourth commandment. They all started keeping Sunday holy, which was directly breaking commandment number 4. So she misplaced one of the coins. And that's why I did the video, to explain what was going on there, because a lot of people didn't get it as to why Jesus used that analogy. So the wall is in fact the law of protection as declared in Proverbs 7:2, when it says, "Keep my commandments and live." You know, I mean, looking back, we see all the kingdoms on earth were not considered a place wherein citizens could be protected unless they had a wall around them, right? I mean, that's how you did it back then. Now we use nuclear warheads. That's our wall now, right? But back then, they only used walls that kept the city safe. That's why they would siege, you know, they would surround the city and prevent them from buying and selling. You know, they couldn't get out of the city. They couldn't get in the city to trade and get food. And so like what Nebuchadnezzar did when he surrounded Jerusalem, he just sat there and waited, because eventually they're going to run out of food and water, And then they're going to surrender and they're going to take them. Or, like our Lord did at Jericho, he'll just make the wall fall over. Because that's what he did there. When the Jews surrounded the city 7 days, and on the seventh day, they went around the city 7 times, you know, and then shouted at the end, and boom, the wall fell. And so seeing how we, brothers and sisters, we are the temple of the Lord, we have that wall inside us. How we keep his commandments and live, as Solomon just put it in Proverbs 7, verse 2. So those that refuse to obey God's law today are headed for a great fall, like they saw in Jericho. I mean, notice Proverbs 25:28. Check this out. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. See, the Ten Commandments are there for a reason. It's to help you to be the person you were created to be. You know, we're all tested. That's the only reason we're here. You know, we're all tested. So the reason I shared all this is because Satan seeks to take the kingdom of God, and just as we saw with Jericho when their wall fell, which caused them to be conquered, or even when Jerusalem's wall fell under Nebuchadnezzar, because he knocked them down too, and he burned the stuff and all that. Satan plans to attack God's kingdom, and the only way to do that is to break down his walls, or as we know, he needs to go after the law of our God. That is the reason he has focused on God's law since day one. In Eden, he breached a hole in the wall by bearing false witness against our God and caused Adam and Eve to fall. That's the first time mankind ever heard of something called a lie. In Esther's day, he again used God's law against the people, just as he did in the days of Daniel. And so we now see how Satan's sign or his mark or ensign or method of attack, we know what he's going to do, but most do not see what we see, and he builds on that ignorance, hoping they stay dumbed down so as to make our duty come off as impossible. I mean, try to go out there now and try to tell people that all this stuff with this COVID-19, try to tell them it's a hoax, and it's nowhere near as bad as the seasonal flu. It's all to get the people to see no big deal about them moving tanks all around the nation to set up for martial law, because they know that's going to have to eventually go down when they start pushing socialism full force, because you can't enforce the mark of the beast without socialism. Can't do it with cash either, so it's all going to go digital. And so, but remember what Jesus also said in Matthew 19:26? He said, with men, this is impossible. Because Fran and I were talking about this the other day. You know, we want to be able to go out, because eventually we're not going to be able to be online anymore. We already see that going on with YouTube, and this is why I have servers in my own home, because years ago, long ago, when we first got online, I was constantly having to deal with complaints from Catholics and SDAs about my websites, and they were on, you know, public servers, if you will. I would always co-locate, actually. It was my own server, but I would put it in an ISP, and they would charge me like $50 a month just to have my, or no, $100 a month, just to have my computer in their office, running on their trunk line. The only thing I didn't like about it is they didn't have a good battery backup, so if they went down at 5:01 p.m. on Friday, my site is offline until 9:01 a.m. Monday, because no one would go back in there and flick the switch. So, but remember, with men this is impossible. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. That loud cry is going to go forth, even though we can't figure out how it's going to get done right now. That's why a lot of us are getting even deeper into our studies. Instead of doing just the study once in the morning, I'm doing it at night now too, but just prophetic books at night. You know, as prophesied, Satan hopes to have his name etched in the law that governs the world, just as we learned a few Sabbaths ago regarding God's name actually being inside the law. The seal is in there. As well, I mean, just in the word Sabbath too, right there in the middle of the word Sabbath is Abba. That's the term of endearment that Jesus Christ used for his Father while he was in prayer. I mean, and in Satan's counterfeit Sabbath, we see the name he first used to garner false worship as well. The pagans of old worship sun gods, as the Vatican does to this day with their solar disk monstrance where they place their Eucharist in, or that massive solar wheel that anyone can see using Google Earth when you float over the Vatican that the Pope calls St. Peter's Square. That's a solar wheel. That's a worship of Baal. And so their Sabbath is Sunday. That's why they get the plague of heat, because that's what they worship. That's why they get the bloody waters, because they're bloodthirsty. The plagues, all seven of them, there's a reason for each one and how it's going to go down. So Satan cannot create or even invent dogma without first copying that which the Lord already did, and that is where we can take the advantage. In fact, after being in the truth for so long, some of us see Satan's sign in every church on earth. He owns them all. I mean, except, of course, the remnant people, and that's no mistake either. Our numbers are to be small for a reason. For if we were a large congregation, like, you know, a million or two or three or whatever, we would believe in our minds that it is our victory when we see Satan's plan fail and more souls gaining salvation during the loud cry. You know, like the young boy David running towards the impossible foe Goliath, we too will make it very clear to all that it is our God that's doing the fight. Okay? He's fighting for us. And so, let's see, we only got a couple of minutes left. I kind of want to finish this, so we might go over a couple. Well, yeah, I did kind of start late because I was gabbing a little bit. But anyway, in the previous studies, we went over what the sign or mark of the enemy of souls is. And so that being, of course, the Sunday Sabbath. Satan wants to be worshipped as a god. And since we know he can only copy that which the Lord does so as to make it appear as if it's his religion is legit. And yes, this is why we study Bibles daily, as we are in a holy war as we speak. And nary a soldier would ever go into battle without making sure his weapon is by his side or sharp. Our weapon, of course, is the two-edged sword of the Lord. Old Testament, New Testament, that's the sword of the Lord. And so Satan's sign of allegiance is disobedience to God. That's his banner. That is why Rome has their Sunday Sabbath in direct defiance to the Sabbath of the God that never changes. Or the Bible says, don't call any man on earth your father. Well, you got to call every priest father. Or Jesus used the term Holy Father in John 17 when he was praying to his Father in heaven, which declares that term means God. And so the Pope says, you got to call me Holy Father. And people do. That's blasphemous. I mean, so whatever the Bible says don't do, they do. And then they make it look religious. Why? Well, because there's an ingenious being behind it. Satan is super intelligent. And he knows how to twist it. But even a babe in Christ can defeat him. And he knows it. Satan's actually the biggest wimp in the universe, if you think about it. Because if you have faith, and you're just a babe in Christ, and you say, get thee hence, Satan, he has to flee. He doesn't just saunter off. He flees. Because that's what Jesus Christ said. And it says this in Exodus 31, verses 12 and 13, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And that's why you're going to see Sunday laws coming up real soon, as we all know. Because this is a war between Christ and Satan right now. And that's what, you know, that's why it's leading towards. That's why they're already talking about religious laws. We got thousands of articles where they're talking about this. That's why I got a page on the website I started years ago about religious laws are going to be here soon. But how is the Sabbath a sign that points to the blessing of sanctification? I mean, look back at the holy place for your answer. Yeah, and yes, this is why most churches, and this includes the Sabbath-keeping denominations, of which there are a few, none of them study the sanctuary where it is needed to be studied now. They don't do that either. You know, when we look into the holy place, we see what we learned months ago regarding sanctification. Look at that candlestick, or look at the altar of incense, and then look at the table of showbread. The Lord's will is quite clear here on how to make it home. We are to study and obey his written word. And then that's where, you know, the showbread comes in. That's why I always mention, thank you for changing the showbread, because every Sabbath they would change the showbread. They would take out the old stuff, and the priests would eat that during the week, and then they would put the new stuff there. It's the bread is symbolic of Scripture, the Word made flesh, the bread of life, if you will. And so we are to study and obey his written word. And then we must pray and do all that he asks us to do in regards to the great commission of every Christian alive. And how do we know we pray? Well, that's the altar of incense. That's the incense rises up as the prayers of the saints in the holy place, not the most holy. But it wafts into the most holy because that's where the Shekinah glory is. We also learned that earlier. But most will read the word, but they won't study it. They'll surface read it. And most will obey his word, but only up to a point that doesn't rub against their flesh or their desires in life, let's say. Most will pray, but only when they're tearful or fearful. And most will share their faith, but only if they're asked. And in today's world, that is a rarity. Next to no one's going to ask you about it. Now, right now, it's getting scary out there. We saw the same thing with September 11th. The only difference was with September 11th is after it all calmed down, everybody kind of wafted away, and then they stopped coming to church again. Now, I think it's going to stay a little longer because, society is going to come back. They're eventually going to drop this, stay-at-home orders and all this crazy stuff. But it won't be the same, just like after September 11th. We lost freedoms after September 11th. You watch what happens now when they open everything up. It's not going to be the same. Even social distancing is going to still be there to some extent. And so in today's world, I mean, the final prophecy, they're upon us to the point that the powers that be have already set up all they need to enforce the mark of the beast to the point of making sure every business was in tune with their disaster plans as they tested it all out with this, the coronavirus, which, by the way, proves there is a one world government right now. I mean, and we know they are already, how do I know it's a one world government? Never before in the history of mankind have you ever seen all the nations coming together to do something. In agreement. Never. And the thing here is, we, the people, most people, the sheeple don't get this, but most people do realize, yeah, this is a little bit of a hoax, ain't it? I mean, come on, the corona, your Lysol can says it kills COVID-19, the coronavirus. But they're making it look like it's, this deadly disease. Yeah, people die from it that have, weakened immune systems and stuff like that. And if they don't have the Lord nearby, but still, it's nowhere near the flu, even with the fudged numbers. I mean, they really got, they got caught the other day adding 3,700 numbers and acted like it was no big deal, saying, okay, we don't know how the people really died, but we're going to say they died of coronavirus because of the times we're in or something. Some doctor said this on camera, with Trump standing next door. And so they did all this in unison with each, even Iran. But before Iran would bow to this, notice what happened. They lost 17, I thought it was 9, 17 political officials died of COVID-19. In other words, they were assassinated. And the people were told it was COVID-19, so there wouldn't be a big old riot. See, they can use this stuff in the same way they used a fake terrorist agenda. And if you don't think it's fake, explain why leaders from the United States of America can go into war-torn areas where terrorists are just living it up and they don't even get, grazed by a bullet. It's all a setup. And so we all know they are already declaring they want everyone to agree with the one world government by 2030. They've already said that they want it by 2030, which the prophet Daniel declared as the last prophecy fulfilled before the seventh plague hits. That's the last one. All plagues seven, that's it. I mean, that means they will have to have their new world order in less than 10 years now, 9.5 years. And that is, of course, if the Lord's timing coincides with it all. And since we are already see the movement going on in the Orion Nebula from the cloud to Betelgeuse losing its power, we're close. We're very close. And as prophesied, all the world wonders after the beast. And his banner is his claim to being a god, is his false Sabbath. And when people obey him over the true God, he receives the worship he desires. That's what he's going for. That's what he gets. And so the atheists... I couldn't believe this when I came across this. I mean, all the people now embrace Sunday as the Sabbath. And this includes the Jews who recently passed laws to not only keep Sunday holy. When that happened, the Pope knew he had their leg. He had a foothold on them, right? Because a couple, 3 years after they said that, yeah, okay, we'll keep Sunday holy for you guys. Like Family Day, they called it. But we all know what they're doing. And three years later, they said it's legal to break the real Sabbath in Tel Aviv. See, a lot of people didn't think that would happen. They used to laugh out loud when I would say stuff like that. That's exactly what's going to happen. And because that's what the Bible says, but no one reads their Bible, so they just laugh. And then they break the Bible Sabbath each week now. The atheists recently opened up Sunday-keeping meeting halls that they call churches. They do it in mockery, but they're still doing it. Satan don't care how you do it. I mean, look at the Sabbath of the Catholic. It's not a real Sabbath. They go to the store, they go to the restaurants, they do the Baptists, they all do it. The SDAs do it too. They go out and they buy and sell stuff on Sunday, and the SDAs do it on Sabbath. And so, and then all the Seventh-day Adventists now even have dozens and dozens of Sunday-keeping churches right now. And in that, when they had that International Speedway event, they held a Sunday Mass under the Seventh-day Adventist banner, and for those two weeks, they broke two Sabbaths, because they did this for two straight weeks. So they literally broke two Sabbaths, had events, they were making money and everything, buying and selling like crazy on Sabbath. And so it's all happening right now before our eyes. But who's stepping up to proclaim faith in the Lord? Who is sharing their faith to bring people into the truth? Only those that will soon receive the latter rain. For the Lord's not going to bless anyone with the prophesied greater portion of the Holy Spirit unless, while it is still day, they actually do all they can to proclaim present truth before it gets dark. Serious. We have little time left to do that we must act and do. We must hold our banner high. Let them snicker. Let them call you names. Let them try to scare you even. If the truth you share finds good soil, they too are going to eventually join us in the fight for the Lord. And then you too are going to be blessed with the rain. You too and them. The days of sitting back waiting for it to get bad are over now. What we have seen the last 2 months alone with their pandemic or plandemic scams that only benefit the powers that be in front of everyone, it's all obvious. I mean, seriously, for them to declare an epidemic in India where only 10 people died, India's got 1.5 billion people, or 2 billion, 1.2, and this proves it has nothing to do with the truth and everything to do with the lies. And I honestly believe no one actually died in India either. As we see here, those deaths are either faked or they were natural deaths but tagged COVID-19 to keep the narrative boiling over. It's 1.4 billion, the people that reside in that nation. You would need literally millions and millions of people to be infected before even shouting epidemic. Yet, because the 8 billion people on the earth are all used to the lies of Hollywood and the politicians offer as truth, they've been conditioned to just go with the flow by now. Satan knows what he's doing. He's been working on this 6,000 years. The mark is going to be administered upon billions with childlike ease. In fact, I would not doubt for 1 minute that billions will stand in line begging to receive the mark so as to preserve the flesh. Don't believe me? Do some research on how many people actually think there is a real pandemic going on right now. Little do they know, in accepting the mark, they guarantee themselves damnation and hellfire. And none of them can repent for that sin, for by then all of them will know the truth as it goes forth in the loud cry via the lips of those drenched in the prophesied latter rain all over the world. I praise the Lord that of those billions, I am sure many souls will see the truth and be saved from damnation, because the prophecy states that when we go forth, the message we bring will be absolutely crystal clear in their minds. The Lord wipes away any kind of deception that they have to where he can judge them properly, to let them, because he reads their hearts. They can act like they don't understand it, but the Lord knows their hearts. He knows the word that he gave you to give them, because it's going to be different words for different folks, right? And so when you give a bunch of people a message, the people in the crowd are going to understand it. And then the next day you might have a different crowd and a different message, but they're all going to clearly understand it. That's the prophecy. So we know what the Bible says about the Sabbath. The Lord has declared his Sabbath a sign between him and his people. And as we learned at the start of the study, Satan has done the same thing with his sign. Because Psalm 74 said, thine enemies have set up their end signs, or banners for signs. And then Psalm 60, I'll close with this. Psalm 60, verses 2 to 5, says this. Psalm 60, verses 2 to 5. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And that's a good fear, by the way. That it may be displayed because of the truth. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand. And hear me. That is our prayer. That latter rain is going to fall, brothers and sisters, and I hope and pray that we're swimming in it when that day comes. And by the way, the word Selah just means it's a Hebrew term meaning to pause, because most of the Psalms are songs. And so as you're singing it, you stop on verse right before you read verse 5 and you do something with the harp or something, you know. So that's why I never use the word Selah when I'm, a lot of people still do it, but that's, it just means pause. So I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute with the sermon. This sermon is number four of what the Lord gave me months ago in regards to what he wanted us to look into, and it's the warnings from the prophet Malachi. Thousands of years ago, this guy put this stuff on paper, and it's happening now. And so just please stick around. We'll be back in a minute here.